live and local. It's Styles and Watkins. Watch the show on youtube.com/SacktownSports1140.
Or listen on the Sacktown Sports app.
From the 916, the PS Vita was fire. I think at that point, I had my PSP for years.
Years, yeah.
I had it for a very long time. And by the way, I have the I had the Game Boy I have currently. Because you know when you move, you find a bunch of stuff.
Yes.
And my mom made me clean out the garage. Hey, all your stuff got to go. So I found my Game Boy Advance.
Ooh,
and I don't know if that was before your time,
no,
but
it was.
That had the light.
Wasn't. Yes,
the light was the game changer.
The light.
So it flipped open. The Game Boy Advance, or sorry.
Yeah, that's the SP.
The Game Boy Advance
was
SP,
the one. Come on. Because the Advance was the one that looked more like
that
the
That one
the
works
PSP.
For me. So that's the thing.
Yeah.
My Game Boy Advance works.
Yes. Okay? That's battery power.
But I can't
double
see
A's.
Anything.
Yeah.
I don't know if my eyes, I have good eyesight, but I'm thinking, how could I see this as a kid?
Right.
It's so dark. And then I have the Game Boy SP, and I need to go on Amazon or wherever and
just
get a charger.
Charger. Yeah.
I don't have the charger.
Yeah. That would
I don't have the charger.
That would be a great piece of technology.
It'd be great for my
Funny
flight.
Enough,
it'd be great for my, literally for my
yes,
flight.
I was actually thinking randomly the other day about picking up an iPod video. Just because, like,
ah,
I just, like,
I
like
that.
The nostalgia of, like, having one of those old devices that's kind of like a, in a weird way, it's like that generation's, like, Nokia brick, where it's just, like, it feels like this thing is going to last forever because it's kind of like in between technology of being, it's not an iPod Touch, but it's definitely not like, you know, the early iPod Nanos or something. It felt like the iPod video was one of those like a Toyota Camry where that thing's just going to last 200,000 miles and you probably use it until like 2035.
I remember watching episodes of The Office on a plane and thinking like, this is incredible.
The screen is like three by three.
Right.
This is incredible.
I think I'm going to look for that Game Boy
SP
charger during the next break, to be completely honest with
you. Yeah, maybe I'll find one and we can, like, link. You know, you had to, like, have the manual cord to link yours to battle.
Right.
Oh,
all right.
Yeah.
It is time for Fair or Foul, and we have a fully loaded Fair or Foul. Today, let's start here with Micah Parsons. So Micah Parsons, who talks all the time, and
too
I'm very
much.
Excited to see what he's going to have to say on his podcast with Bleacher Report. So this is from Ari Marov, My Sports Update. The Cowboys are exercising the fifth-year option on star pass rusher Micah Parsons. That was obvious. The twist, they are designating him as a defensive end rather than a linebacker, which is the cheaper option by nearly $3 million. Now, Micah Parsons has always said, hey, I can do whatever. He essentially talks so much, it's as if he's the defensive version of Debo.
Yes.
Right? The wide back of Debo. So he left himself open for that, and it feels like from what I've read and from what I've seen, he clearly plays linebacker more than defensive end.
Outside linebacker.
Outside linebacker more than defensive end. So, and the Cowboys are saying, hey, well, you said he could do both, so we're going to take the cheaper option. Fair or foul on the Cowboys to pull this off?
It's fair from the organizational standpoint, but from everything else, like, it's kind of foul. I mean, like, I get it, like, you know, again, talking video games again, if I'm playing Madden, that's absolutely what I'm doing. I'm trying to cut as many corners as possible. You know, there's no emotions to those AI players. But in real life to do it is, it's a decision for sure. Because you have to deal with the ramifications of, you know, in Madden, there is no Micah Parsons podcast that's going to come out in a week. And, you know, hopefully Micah Parsons, for the Cowboys' sake, plays ball and says, look, man, I'm going to play under whatever contract I get. I know that they're going to take care of me later. He can do all that, but you're running the risk of possibly upsetting a generational talent here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think, again, they'll probably take care of him on the back end, but this is one
of
those,
what they're going to tell
it's
them.
One of those good faith things where it's like, I would like you to probably just pay me a lot because I am that good. And so, you know, it's just opening the door for a possible rift. I don't think Micah Parsons will take it that way, but you never know. He is a young dude who has a very large following in a podcast. So there's a good chance that this thing could end up blowing up.
Yeah, you definitely need to take care of him expeditiously as soon as you can, and I believe that they will. And Mike is going to have some things to say about it, but ultimately, you kind of put yourself in the situation. I would say it's, I'm going to say it's fair, and maybe it's because Micah Parsons does can get under my skin from time to time. So I'm going to say it's fair, but I understand why many would think that it is foul. I want to save I'm going to save this next one. I'm going to go to the Utah NIL rules. So this is from Front Office Sports. A proposed Utah bill would require athletes in the state to get written approval from their school for NIL deals over $600. That's it. It would also forbid athletes from signing deals promoting alcohol, gambling, vaping, and more. Very interested in the and more because everything from you sign as a freshman, you shouldn't be promoting alcohol.
Right. Good point.
Gambling, I guess technically you can gamble at 18, but you can't if you're in sports anyway.
And if you're in Utah, especially.
Yes, and if you're in Utah, vaping is just not very good for you.
Right.
So I'm curious what the and more is.
I would guess, because I've been thinking about that too, do you think it's like things that could be risk, like on the line? Like it's, because like UFC kind of went through this in a way where they didn't want, you know, brands like Dude Wipes and Manscaped, like having sponsors for their people. Is it maybe, I mean, we know Utah in general is a little bit more conservative of a place. Like, is it maybe things like that where they're just, hey, we think that that's a little lewd and we don't want our athletes. And regardless
of what their brand is,
I'm saying foul. I think that, you know, the NIL is kind of built for these guys to make money. And, you know, I could just see this being a case where, I mean, to say the state has to give, I'm sorry, not the state, but just saying the athletes have to get written approval, that seems like a nightmare of a situation where you're going to have just stacks of, it's going to be a waiting period,
paperwork.
Right? It's like, it's going to be, we're actually reviewing this case. It, you know, some red flags popped up that, and it's going to take a month or so for us to, and then you're probably never going to end up seeing that money. And the person who really doesn't benefit is the kid. The kid, you know, the company's going to move on. And yeah, absolutely. Right. Kids will say, well, if Utah is going to have these restrictions, I'll just go to University of Nevada or something, or Reno or something, you know? So I think it's foul. I think, you know, the point was for these kids to earn money. I understand why Utah is going to say we want to make sure that our athletes are representing the right things. But at the same time, anytime schools or any sort of, you know, corporate gets involved, it's going to muck things up.
I think my thoughts on the NIL deal is, if you guys want to stop this, if you colleges want to stop this, it's very simple. They don't want to do it. Pay them and make them sign contracts.
Yeah.
It's really that simple. This is all on their own.
That's a good point.
And they know they want their cake and eat it too. They want people to stop getting on their back about paying the athletes, but they also don't want their money going to anywhere else.
Right.
And they also want to control what the students are doing.
Right.
Right. And the problem is a lot of these deals, especially you're talking about Utah. This isn't Alabama. This isn't
right.
And speaking of who, Arch Manning, who doesn't want to be in the NCAA game.
Scared.
Arch, you're on the bench anyway.
Yeah.
You're not even starting.
Well, lot of people are saying that's what it is. Is they don't want the publicity of Arch Manning's a 72 right now in
yeah,
NCAA
that's true.
25.
That's true.
That's a bad look.
So
for him.
You're not that. You're not Caitlin Clark. You could maybe get somebody that brings that type of cachet, but ultimately, It's proposed, so I don't know that it passes, because this isn't University of Utah saying this. This isn't Utah State. This isn't BYU. This isn't, from what I'm reading, a proposed Utah bill. I don't know who proposed it, right? And the bottom line is, whether it's fair or foul, I'd call it foul, but whether it's fair or foul, you're just hustling backwards. You're just hustling backwards, because there is way too much competition amongst other teams and other schools that kids are not going to deal with this.
Yes.
They're just going to go to Nevada, Reno, or anywhere else around there.
Yeah.
They're not going to deal with that. And ultimately, especially with the Pac-12 going under, you're just not going to hear about Utah anymore and some of these other schools, because teams are just, or kids are just going to say, I got four other schools that I don't have to worry about this. And all these schools in Utah are, I guess Utah wasn't technically a mid-major, but they're not they're not the superpower five.
No, so you're already. Don't even ask me what conference they're in now. I have no idea.
They were in the Pac-12.
And they just moved there.
Yeah. I have no idea. They're in something. I was going to say the Mountain West. Not only are you battling against other schools, now you're battling against yourself. So it's foul. I also don't know that it'll get passed because I can see a coach or athletic director saying, yeah, no.
And I will say, too, I thought this was interesting. I feel like I remembered it and I looked it up. To Chris's point about the university kind of trying to have their cake and eat it, too, and also just kind of really be in charge of this, I think it's interesting that this is from ESPN, October 23rd. 85 Utah players on scholarship were in for the surprise of a lifetime when they received leases for Dodge Ram pickup trucks. The Utah Crimson Collective, a nonprofit organization, organized the deal and will be covering the lease and insurance payments, according to Forbes. Players will be responsible for the tax payments. 85 Utah athletes, both football players and various women athletes, received brand new Dodge Ram pickup trucks sanctioned by the university themselves.
University of Utah.
The University of Utah was a partner with the Dodge Ram pickup truck. I guess the dealership.
So you can get a truck.
I just think it's interesting that, you know, it's like, why? I don't know. It's just weird to me that you're going to try and, you know, I know it's not necessarily the school, it's the state that's proposing it, but just to want to have levels of restriction, but then at the same time, they're the only school that I've ever heard say, we're going to just straight up, like, that is propaganda. Like, that is, they want athletes to see that and say, oh my God, if I go to the University of Utah, not only do I get a scholarship, but I'm probably going to get a truck too. And, you know, I'm sure, and that it's not like you have to be Arch Manning to get it. Like, you know, we've seen Caleb Williams' whip around.
Yeah.
He's riding Ferraris and stuff.
And homie from Georgia, the QB from Georgia, just, what did he get, a Lambo?
Yeah, I saw
or
that.
Or a Ferrari, something like that?
Yep. That's crazy. It's crazy, man.
the money is there.
I have no idea how you could be a college athlete today. Like, the amount of big man on campus energy is got to be on just unseen levels right now.
You know what I wonder? I wonder if, and how long the NIL been around? 2 years, 3 years?
Like two, three, yeah. I would
definitely
say
not
three
more than
max.
Three. Yeah. I do wonder if graduating rates have gone down because players, specifically with athletes, of course, because players are, hey, I got, $4 million in my pocket.
Right.
I don't really feel like going to school anymore. Even if they once they know probably not going to the league, whatever it is, there's no need for me to graduate.
I can start a business. I can start a podcast
or whatever. $7 million.
Right. Literally. Or even if not. Even if it's like, hey, I have $500,000 that I've collected through my 4 years here. Like, it's interesting for sure. I mean, I'm sure that there is going to be an escalation of people that probably say, oh, I've actually earned probably more money playing here than I would doing a regular business. So why not use this money that I've earned and try and make something of it? And forget college. I've got the money. I'll start now. So it's interesting. I mean, we'll see how this thing goes, but it just feels like the longer that NIL is around, the more of these kind of regulations from universities, but also from the states themselves are going to start popping up where, everybody's going to want to get a piece and everyone's going to want to have a say in who gets a piece.
Next one, Mike Brown in the postgame presser bringing up Chris Duarte's tech in the third. So Chris and I looked this up when Mike Brown was asked, or it might have just been in the beginning before he was even asked any questions. Basically, how did things go wrong or what things went wrong against the Bulls? He brought up the turnovers, things like that, and defensive lapses. He also brought up Chris Duarte's tech in the third. They were up, when the tech happened, they were up 19 points, and there were about 2 minutes, 30 seconds left in the third. And he brought up that tech, and initially, I did think it was kind of weird. I don't know if weird is the right word. It felt like a little bit of a cop-out. When I'm looking at the list of things that went wrong in that game, that Duarte tech wasn't on my list. Mm-hmm.
It was personally on mine. Okay. To me, it was a lot like you pointed out actually perfectly in the, I think it was in the Denver collapse, that Malik lob that was supposed to go to Trey Lyles that didn't. And then it kind of like, that was almost a flashpoint from after that moment, the Kings really never had control. It was kind of the same with the Duarte tech where he gets that tech. And yeah, like you said, they were up 19, 2 minutes to go in the third, still plenty of time for things to be decided and for things to happen. But it felt like after that moment, the Kings just never really had control of the game.
Really?
And, you know, it's just a lack of attention. It was also just, it was symbolic of, I mean, Mike Brown, if we remember during training camp, had that clip go viral of him yelling at Malik for yelling at the referees. It's something that he's talked about all year. Like, you have to play through that. Mm-hmm. And Duarte in that moment was exactly what Mike Brown was yelling at Malik for. He was upset that he got chicken winged as he was, because it was off an inbounds pass. They kind of just, you know, screened Duarte. They screened Duarte to get his man open to run towards the inbound. And Duarte got a little bit of a chicken wing from one of the
really
guys.
It really wasn't egregious.
It was so small. And he stopped, he looked at the ref, like kind of, you know, as he was defending, did a little like, what was that? As he did that, he gets absolutely destroyed off the dribble. They score. And then after, Chris Duarte, like, just reams at, like, he looked like Steph Curry about to throw
his mouthpiece. He did.
I was like, what is going on? And so, yeah, I mean, it was just a completely selfish moment in that time. You know, he's like, oh, my bad, my bad. But I think everyone knew. Malik goes over to talk to him, says, bro, we can't have that right now. Like, we're trying to make the run, and you can kind of feel things starting to slip. And, yeah, to me, it's fair. After that moment, I think that and I'm not blaming that specific moment, but much like that Malik lob, it just felt like after that moment, nothing was the same.
You're trying to convince me. You're doing a good job.
I know. I used your, you know, I complimented you.
But I'm still saying foul. When we return, Zion talked about the dunk contest. Wemby trying to get him out of San Antonio already. And the Kelsey's, enough is enough. We get it. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacramento has a new tag team in the midday. It's Styles and Watkins on Sacktown Sports.
From the 916, I agree with Watkins. All right, I'm not reading the rest of that.
Oh.
I agree with Watkins.
I never hear that.
I agree with Watkins. It felt like the refs pocketed their whistles when we got a lead, and the Kings let that get in their head, and Duarte is just the epitome of that.
I didn't even consider that portion of it, but yeah, that could also be true as well. The refs, you know, the refs are people too, and they're going to say, I did not appreciate you yelling at me like that at all. And yeah, I'm going to start swallowing my whistle. So
I have one. There's one fair foul that I'm waiting. We're going to do that one last. So right now, let's do Zion. Zion was asked, or basically it came up, if he would do the dunk contest. And this was the answer that he had to that question.
I got to do my part and make the All-Star game. If I'm in the All-Star game, I'll do the dunk contest. But if I'm not, I'm not doing it.
I guess the fair or foul here. I guess the fair or foul here. He has given us some good sound bites this season.
So good.
I guess the fair or foul here is what he said, doing the dunk contest and not doing the dunk contest unless you're in the All-Star. Because I kind of feel him on that.
For Zion
specifically, I feel like I agree with him. I think that's fair.
I think that he knows exactly what he's doing, and I think that that's his way of saying, hey, NBA, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours.
Right.
You know, it's like, hey, I didn't hear Zion's name brought up once in this year's All-Star snubs or anything. We talked a lot about Sabonis. We talked about Fox. I did not hear a single soul say Zion Williamson, actually, you know, he's played a lot of games this year. Why isn't he somebody who's considered in the All-Star game? I think it's Zion campaigning. Like, I think it's really smart. I think he's saying, look, NBA, how much do you care about your dunk contest? Because we all know if I'm in it, people are watching. It doesn't matter if it's bad. It honestly doesn't matter how the actual event goes. All you care about are the amount of people who end up tuning in for it. And, you know, again, you scratch my back, I scratch yours. You put me in the All-Star game, whether it's a controversial decision or not, and, you know, I'll help you guys out too. But you got to make sure that you do right by me first. So it makes a lot of sense. I guess it's fair, but I, you know, we like to talk about integrity a lot on this show, and, you know, it's not the most integrity there.
No, I wouldn't take
ideally,
it
you know,
far.
You just love dunking for the sport of the game.
No,
you're probably
I'm
the sickest leaper
that.
We've seen of
I
this
think,
generation.
I think he's saying, he said, I have to do my part.
What if Vince Carter said that?
He said, I have you to know? Do my part.
He said that, but what he actually, you know, if you, so you can do the Obama anger
is
translator, he's saying, put me in the All-Star game, NBA.
Is it fair or foul?
It's fair. It's fair.
Thank you.
It's fair.
Thank
it's
you. Definitely fair. It is fair. All right.
He's definitely not going to go to Indiana just because.
Oh, come on.
That's
now.
Also
yeah.
what he said.
You know, Zion, you know, he like to hang out.
The word is out.
The
okay.
Word, yeah, I don't
it's
know.
It's not really about what Dunkey's going to do. It's about the burgers
right,
he's going to eat after.
Zion alone. Next, we have Wemby, and it's not Wemby. It's actually the, what is it, the NBA Today.
Yeah, the cast.
Cast.
The crew.
Ramona Shelburne discussing something that sounds ridiculous to bring up. In a
rookie season, man.
A rookie season. So Ramona Shelburne basically says, hey, you know, I don't think that he wants to sit here at the bottom of the lottery. Here's Ramona Shelburne talking to the rest of the cast.
But Victor isn't that patient.
No.
I think the rest of the league has started to understand that now in the best way possible. So what does the timeline look like now?
I don't want to hear that word anymore. Timeline. Patience. Like, Damian Lillard, when he asked for a trade from Portland, had an interest in going to the Spurs, okay? He had an interest. There was a fascination with Wemby. Wemby hadn't hit the league yet, but there was a fascination with him, and there was a respect for Greg Popovich. And but there was not really any traction on trading for Dame because Victor is so young, and they have a young team, and they want to see that develop. Victor's here. Victor is ready to win, and I know they have this idea that they're going to take 2-3 years and find the right core, and they're all going to be on the same timeline, but I don't know how patient he's going to be, because when I watch him play, that man is competitive. He wants to win, and how long do you give it, Malika? Year, two?
A year max.
Because I don't think he wants to sit here and be at the bottom of the lottery standings.
He may not be patient, but he won't have a choice, because it's really up to Pop and organization. He's going to have to wait. It's obviously his turn, but he's going to have to wait until they get the pieces they can get for him.
Well, there are players around the league who would love to play with him.
What's his face, Perk?
But, man, Victor don't have to be patient and wait on nothing. He's the greatest prospect ever. Look, for the first time, the pressure is on Greg Popovich and the San Antonio Spurs. They better get them pieces around him, man, because this kid is different. He's thinking different. He has an old soul. He's about winning now. He's not trying to lose.
For sure. But the maturity in him of learning from Tony and learning from everybody else is around him, David Robinson, is going to make him to embrace the patience. And he's going to have to
He embraced the patience longer than he wanted to in terms of the process to get to where he is now and playing in longer stretches and doing all that. I don't know about Pop feeling pressure, Perk. I don't know.
I don't think that's possible.
Put pressure on Pop. I don't think he's felt it for a very, very, very long time. But if anyone can make this organization move at a different pace than they were planning to, it's Victor. And I just don't see it lasting.
And I also think, like, how there's so few rookies in this league. Yep. There's so few young players in this league that have a gravitational pull where veteran players say, I want to play with that guy.
Yeah. I mean, I
think Victor's one of them.
I don't really know what I just listened to.
Yeah, there's a lot there. And it's tough because I think I hear and I understand and I actually kind of agree with some of it. But I just think it's I think it's way too early to have this conversation. And B, I agree that probably by the end of next season, you're probably going to hear the I'm sick of losing and oh, this is tough. But you know, is Victor Wembanyama really going to start to ask out of San Antonio anytime soon? I just think that it's a ridiculous thing to say. I mean, he has so many years left, even still on his rookie contract. Mm-hmm. You know, Luka's not out here. You know, they've tried three different combinations with Luka, and none of it has worked. But I think that maybe it'll be something similar to that, to where, you know, they're not going all in on Victor, but yeah, San Antonio's got some cap space this offseason. Maybe they, you know, kick the tires on a Malik Monk. Maybe they look to bring in an actual point guard, you know, an actual starter quality point guard besides our guy Tyus Jones, or Trey Jones, actually. You know, that's the kind of move that I think San Antonio is going to make, is from, you know, laughing stock of the league to, okay, yeah, like, you catch them on the wrong night, like, they look like an actual NBA team, but I don't think we're talking next year or this offseason San Antonio's putting all their chips in the basket and they're going to make, you know, two or three big splash signings. I just think that it's way too soon for that, and I don't think Victor's ready for that either.
I think what's funny is you have two sides of this, where Mark J. Spears was on, I think it might have been the Low Post or one of the ESPN mm-hmm. basketball pods, and he kind of jokingly, half jokingly, said there was no way that Wembanyama wasn't going to the Spurs. And we saw, and it was kind of like a half joking, and it got a little bit of traction. Hey, what did he mean by that? You know, and I don't think he really got pressed on it. Maybe we could ask him about it at the next Kings game if we see him. And the other part of that is you saw Wembanyama's reaction to, who was it he didn't want to go to? Was it
I can't remember.
Was it Houston or
it might have been Houston or
maybe
Detroit.
Portland, yeah, or Detroit. Which, yeah. So he's got Tim Duncan, Popovich, yep, all of these guys, yep, and all of a sudden we're already having this conversation. I don't know if it's just a weird time, you're getting ready for the playoffs to start up.
It's their way of talking about the Spurs, maybe.
If there was one, if Giannis can do it in Milwaukee, if this guy is so polarizing, he will make his own, he will make his own situation, right, the same way LeBron did in
if
Cleveland.
If you build it, they will come.
That he is not the guy, yeah, that has to go somewhere else if he is who, right, we think he's going to be.
Exactly.
So I think it's ridiculous. I think you continue to talk about these markets. What is he going to do? He's going to team up with Anthony Davis? He's going to team up with this is
Killian
what we really
Hayes,
want. Yeah, this is what we really want.
The French
Luka,
connection.
Jokic, and Wembanyama, no, all on the same team.
I literally can't even
People are going to come to him. And I think, yes, from what I've seen with Wembanyama, these people don't know what they're talking about. Yeah. I could look bad in a couple years, but he gives off that's what he wants.
Yeah. No, I saw
he
a
wants
San Antonio
it to
reporter
be in,
say that.
He wants it to happen in San Antonio because,
yeah,
of him.
Yeah.
You want to go run and play with somebody else? Now, he can recruit people.
Right.
But what are we talking about here?
No, absolutely not. I mean, yeah, he's not going to start making demands or anything like that. And like I said, I saw a San Antonio reporter say something pretty similar to what you just said, in that, you know, he's talked to countless execs around the league, GMs around the league, just, you know, league figures in general. And he said the person who seems to understand the plan better than anybody he's talked to is Victor Wembanyama. He understands that this thing is a long process. He understands, you know, if he's truly going to be great. Plus, he's got Pop in his ear. You got David Robinson at all the games. Tony Parker's in the building. Tim shows up when he can. Like, those guys are telling him, look, man, I trust us. And I know Tony Parker carries a lot of weight, mm-hmm, in that locker room, even still. And then you have the French connection as well. I just think that he understands that this thing is going to be a process, and if you really, really, really want to be great, you're going to have to wait a couple years. I mean, even this year, we saw Wemby, a couple weeks ago? We're going to see him next, mm-hmm, week as well, or we're going to see him Thursday, actually. Mm-hmm. We're going to see him in a couple days. He's still raw. Like, he is not a winning basketball player right now, but he's got a lot of fat in his game, yeah, that he needs to trim. More specifically, all the pull-up threes. I know I saw he's shooting like 40% from three in his last 20 games. That's all great, but we saw he was like 1 of 8 and just, yeah, taking some of the lowest IQ threes I think I've seen in a very long time.
Like, so, you mentioned, you
know, he's got time.
Yeah, playing a little bit of 2K out there. Yes. When we return, continuing with the NBA talk, and I'll tell you why the Kelseys are grinding my gear. Sal's and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Live and local, it's Styles and Watkins. Watch the show on youtube.com/SacktownSports1140.
Or listen on the Sacktown Sports app.
1 o'clock. Your chance to win tickets to see Chris Breezy, Chris Brown at the Golden One Center, July 30th. Chris Watkins will pick that number. That is at 1 o'clock. You don't want to miss that. If you want to see Chris Brown, 916-339-1140. 916-339-1140. And I don't even know if this should count in fair or foul, but I'm to the point now, Chris, where, and they're literally on the screen right now.
They are.
It's enough. It's enough with the Kelce's now.
Yeah, you're sick of it.
No, it's not that I'm sick of it.
No, you're sick of it.
What annoys me is not the Kelce's relationship.
Okay.
And not how much, it's not even how much they show the Kelce's, because it was their bobblehead night. I get that.
Ah, okay.
And this has nothing to do with Taylor Swift. I fought Niner fans for years on the Kelce versus Kittle thing.
Oh, I thought you were saying something about Taylor Swift.
No.
I fought years to tell people Taylor Swift
is going to be
it.
A part of the NBA. and so I don't have a problem with Travis Kelce. I think he is a heck of a football player. And Jason Kelce did his thing for years with the Eagles. My problem is just we're getting to this point where everything they do now is newsworthy. Very similar to LeBron. I don't know if you saw on how ESPN or national media will post, oh, LeBron didn't wear a sleeve today. It's the first time he didn't wear a sleeve.
Yeah, sure.
And people are saying, thanks, ESPN. That's awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much. Or Bronny is streaming or doing something
right.
normal, and now it's newsworthy. I saw a national, I won't say who it was, a national medium, right? A national sports medium. And They took the clip of the New Heights pod.
Okay.
Right. So you know how you can post a video on Twitter.
Yes.
And it still says it in the end, right, or at the bottom,
yeah.
And you can click into it. And they took and it's Travis Kelce having a moment. I think they start crying at one point. I'll cry too. Right. And it's Travis Kelce talking to Jason about his retirement speech, just saying, hey. I just wanted you to know that I didn't want you to feel any pressure for me to keep playing. And they're having a moment.
Okay.
And then this account takes it, reposts it for some odd reason, and says, the Kelce's bond as brothers is unmatched. It's just annoying me. They're brothers.
So it's the aggregators that are getting you upset, actually.
They're brothers. You know how many friends that I have that have siblings or brothers? Oh, my goodness. SOS. Brothers are close. Family members are close. What are we talking? Come on, man.
I think it's...
I'm so sick of it. I'm so sick of it.
That's hilarious that you're actually not upset about the content at all.
No.
It's the fact that other people are taking it and running with it that has actually got you upset. That's incredible. I mean, I guess I kind of feel, in a way, it's almost like my Steph Curry thing. I get
it. And some of it is Elon's fault because maybe they're just trying to get money off these clicks. Because if you care about, thank you, unnamed national media, thank you. I did not know that two brothers could love each other so very much. So very much. And if you cared that much about the Kelce's, you'd probably already have seen the clip for New Heights. Thank you, unnamed national media. Yeah. I really needed to see that.
I mean, I'm going to say, I'll just play devil's advocate. Like, traditionally with brothers, you see like a rivalry. I would say that's what's like unique about their relationship. They have it, but like they're a lot more soft and gushy, and they'll tell each other, you know, I love you, man. Thank you so much. Oh, it's great to watch your career. And like, typically you get, you know, with brothers, you get we played Keegan audio the other day of him saying, yeah, I act like my, this is Keegan Murray.
That was funny.
I try and act like Chris so I don't have to take pictures.
It's just getting to the point. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Two brothers. Travis visits Jason's house to see his nieces.
I have seen that video.
It's crossing over.
It's a lot.
They
also have the Amazon documentary too, which I would not watch. That was last season.
But now people are going to take clips of that and say, "Oh my goodness!" when he walked in and he said, "You're my bro,"
dude. I just felt that.
Chris Verlade, do you have siblings?
No.
You're an only child.
Yeah, does that surprise you?
No. Well, actually, yes, which is a good thing. Which is a good thing.
Chris, I think, well, I've got a bunch of cousins.
Okay.
Right.
So that's sort of like my sibling.
Right. That's
so
right.
I think that's why I'm not like only child, only
syndrome.
Child.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Chris,
yes.
Watkins, you have a sister.
Older sister, yes.
Are you close?
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Chris Watkins and his sister hang out and
I mean,
have
like,
a
but we're not like, you know, like, I mean, I guess I could have been her roommate, but like, we're not like, you know, it's not like, oh, like that's my one. Like, you know, we just, we did everything together, you know. Matching outfits.
I have a lot of friends that have brothers. Yeah. And if we're keeping it specific to brothers, because I don't have any brothers either. I have two sisters. If we're keeping it specific to brothers, yeah. All of my friends that have brothers, they are very close.
Yeah, but they also like, I mean, yeah, I guess. I just think that typically with the brother thing, you see a lot of contentiousness. Not like, of course, it's played up and it's like, oh, yeah, these two always, you know, they're trying to show who's best. That's like usually
but that's
the storyline of the brothers.
Up now. They're washed up now. They're old now. That's why. Let me find.
No.
I'm going
to
find it for
I don't
you.
Don't know what to tell you.
Travis and Travis and Jason Kelce's brotherly bond is unmatched with a watery eye emoji. I woke up upset when
you
I saw
really
that.
Did. I mean, you
they got 29 likes for
I mean, I get it. Like, I get the, because it is like, it's definitely oversaturated. Like, I do see probably too many New Heights, whatever. What is it? I don't even know what their pod is called.
Yeah, the New Heights.
The New Heights. I see probably two more clips than I asked for a week, which I feel like, yeah, like definitely they are being shoved down our throats a bit.
It's too much now.
It is. It's definitely a lot, but I've just, you know. It just doesn't bother. I don't know. Like, maybe I'm not listening to the clips enough, but I understand what, because I feel like your emotions
hope,
for this are my emotions
you
for
hope
Steph.
Steph
they
and
are.
Seth
yeah, exactly.
Don't make a podcast.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If that happens,
Seth got to stay in the league. But if Steph and Seth, they make a podcast, I can't wait.
No, that's a wrap for me.
No, and I
that's
can't wait.
That's a wrap for me.
We'll
but,
play 10
see,
clips
but they
a day.
Are entertaining, so they aren't going to pop.
They are.
No, they aren't. They are not as, like, the Kelces are at least really funny. They're legitimately funny.
And I get reminded every day. I get reminded every day. Got to get to a break when we return.
Man.
Jaden Daniels helps out his teammates. We also discuss the small ball issues for the Kings. The worst person you know just said something that makes sense. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Live and local, it's Styles and Watkins. Watch the show on youtube.com/SacktownSports1140.
Or listen on the Sacktown Sports app.
Nate is back with us, Nate Littlefield, as we just finished our convo about brothers. And Nate has a little brother.
That's right. I did not
so,
think that.
So, not to rehash it, we already spent plenty of time as we get into some small ball stuff. But, Nate, quickly, are you close with your brother?
Yeah, we weren't for a while. You know, just family gets crazy.
Yeah.
But we're pretty much as close as we've ever been.
Right wow.
Now. Yeah.
Wow. Put it on the ticker.
Yeah, let's do on
Sacktown Sports. Brothers are close.
Yeah.
Brothers are close.
Yeah, I'm trying to get him to do the A's games here at night.
There you go.
I'm not trying to do those.
We can have our own Kelce's. Yeah,
he's over at Sac State right now, so I'm trying to.
Oh, that's beautiful. An internship. Yeah, yeah. We can definitely arrange that.
We could have our own Kelce brothers. Now, this wasn't a part of.
Don't call us that.
That's what I'm saying.
Dude, that'd be great.
So this wasn't a part of.
Podcast coming soon.
No, here we go. This wasn't a part of Fair or Foul because it's not a Fair or Foul situation. But and I don't think he's probably the first person to do this, but I don't know if you heard, Chris, Jaden Daniels, one of the top QB recruits, Jaden Daniels says the reason he didn't test at the NFL Combine was to get his teammates more exposure. Teams that...
Sorry, what?
What's the problem?
Does that make any sense?
Teams that want to watch him must now check out his pro day in Baton Rouge.
Okay.
So now, the only thing that I would say is funny is because it's LSU. It's not like he was at Northern Illinois,
exactly,
or something like that. But it's still a good deed, I would say.
No, that's a lie.
What do you mean?
He didn't want to work out at the combine. That's all it is. And he spun it. It's just that spin.
It's good spin.
It's great spin. That's how you know, it's like, remember last year or 2 years ago at the combine, Malik Willis like gave his clothes to that homeless guy outside the combine.
Yes.
It's the time of the year where you're trying to, you know, you're trying to look good. You're trying to look like a good character person. And, you know, it is great spin. I will say,
that great PR.
Yeah, to turn, I don't want to work out at the combine because I'm better than that and you're going to come to me and I'm going to build that perfect environment. To say, nah, actually, what this is actually about, I would actually, hey. I love the combine. I'm a combine guy, okay?
I bought it.
I'll run a 40. I bought it. But I love my teammates, man, and I'm trying to get them drafted.
That's a team player.
That's crazy.
That can lead. He can lead the Raiders that.
Exactly. That's exactly what they want you to think. That's absolutely what they want you to think.
I'm just saying. All right.
That's great.
Now,
that is great.
When the worst person you know says something that's actually, at the very least, understandable.
Sure.
Kevin O'Connor, who I will check my DMs again. Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer had a lot to say when it comes to the Kings, but this one actually made a little bit of sense, but we're trying to figure out why it is what it is. This is from Kevin O'Connor. This was yesterday on the heels, of course. You don't see Kevin unless the Kings do lose. Yep. And the Kings lost to the Bulls. And he says, the Kings have a -7.2 net rating with Trey Lyles at center this season. The lineup was outscored 17-8 last night during a 22-point blown lead to the Bulls. Kobe White and DeMar DeRozan go to the rim at will with no resistance in the paint. We have spoken about seeing the small lineup even more.
Ish.
What is wrong with the small ball lineup? Or how it's being used.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's a bit of a cherry pick because, again, like you didn't mention, Kevin, how well Trey Lyles worked at the center against the Timberwolves. So you know, that, you know, it's
which was shaky at first, though.
It was shaky at first, but the problem is, I mean, and we talked about it yesterday, I think it looks different if Trey shoots the ball from three. Like, that's the whole, like, if Trey Lyles is going to try and play like Alex Len, then yeah, that's not going to work. He's too small. He's going to get out rebounded. He's going to have all of the, I guess, pun intended, he's going to have all the shortcomings that come with running a small ball lineup. Mm-hmm. He didn't shoot. And the whole point of running small ball is to stretch the defense as far as possible, get everyone out on the perimeter. And if Trey isn't shooting the three, well, then, yeah, they're just going to pack the paint, which is exactly what Chicago wanted to do. So, yeah.
Especially a team like that. Yeah. It was even more important for him to shoot against a team like
Absolutely. That. Absolutely. A team that can't really shoot themselves. And, I just think that it's – I mean, I'm not saying it's not true. I'm not saying that the Lyles minutes look terrible against Chicago. So I'm not saying Kevin O'Connor is out here lying.
But he's saying this season, though, Chris.
No,
he's
I know. Exactly. And it's a fact. It is a fact. But I would push back and say – I think that we need to see a larger sample size. I was expecting Trey Lyles to just be the backup five this year. Wow. That was my expectation when they signed him to an $8 million contract, and then they sign Alex Len to a minimum, and then bring JaVale in on a minimum. I was like, okay. And they had Sasha, so that was telling me Sasha's going to play the four, Trey is going to be the backup five. Mm-hmm. If you're just looking at the raw finances of how, you know, if you're using that as the value system, that's how I imagined it. We've seen it sporadically, and to say sporadically feels like an understatement. I think we've seen it under five or under times it felt like this year, mm-hmm. where they have specifically said, we are putting Trey in here to try and take advantage of something we see. And even then, I would say in that Chicago game, Trey was only at the five because Sabonis fouled out. And even then, they didn't run Trey at the five the entire time. They ran HB at the five in that
possession.
And they went back to Len. That's right. I forgot about that, too.
No, but they didn't go back to Len when Sabonis fouled out.
I think they did for like a minute or two, but it wasn't like truly going to. It was oh my God, Trey is getting killed.
Right.
We need to put in some size. So my pushback would just be, I think there hasn't been a big enough sample size yet to truly say it doesn't work. And I also think the way the Kings are using it right now, it's a counter. So it's not really something that is, you know, to say Trey's minus, like, it's not really been something that the Kings have specifically gone to. It's something that if they see it, they might go to it. And so it's just not, it's not really a part of what the Kings are doing this year, if it makes sense. Like, yes, it is a fact, but it would probably hold more weight if it's like every single night they're going to Trey Lyles and it's not working. If you only go to Trey Lyles, you know, two times a month at backup center, it's like, well, yeah, okay, maybe, like, right. Yeah, I guess, but I'm not, it's not like, you know, that's a problem for the Kings because they don't have any other counter or anything to it.
It did feel like at the end of the...
I'm also a Trey Lyles apologist.
I know you are.
Need that on the record.
It did feel like they could not grab a rebound.
That is a true fact.
That was bad towards the end. Yeah. And
it was really bad. And it was really bad at the end.
Especially when you have somebody... And you had no choice because Sabonis was out. Right. But just somebody that can just be a body... because you got Vucevic in there.
Yeah, so that's a legit big.
Maybe it has to depend on the situation. Maybe it's... Like you said, the counter didn't make sense.
Yes.
If Chicago had went small and you lose Sabonis, fine, go small. But I think that if you're going to stick with Vucevic, it should have been Alex Len.
I agree. And I don't know. I don't know if Alex Len, like, was supposed to watch Mike Brown's dog or something and forgot. But it just feels like he doesn't like to go. I mean, whether it be JaVale or whether it be, Sabonis fouling out. It just feels like they go to Alex just to kind of eat up minutes. It feels like they don't truly, which is weird because maybe it's something they're seeing in practice, like more day-to-day stuff. But every time he checks in, it feels like he does exactly what you would probably expect him to do. And if not, just a little bit more. Like, he always seems to impress, like, oh my gosh, Alex got those blocks. Oh my gosh, he got a couple offensive rebounds or a couple tips. It's just weird to me that they don't feel... It doesn't feel like Alex is in the rotation. It feels like he might be gone to, like, they might go to him, but it doesn't feel like his spot is solidified at all.
And this is the second year of them kind of tricking him around.
Yep, exactly. Which I was surprised they signed him in the offseason because they didn't use him until like the last eight games of the season and then a couple playoff games. And I was like, you know, if I'm Alex, I'm going to say What was that about? What was that, you know, how are you going to bench me for 75 games and then say, actually, we really need you, and then we're going to play you in the playoffs? I would say that's not how I would, you know, I would like to know my role, and whether it's I'm going to be on the bench all year or not, I would just like to know that going in. So I was a bit surprised to see him come back and then really not be given any guarantees, because clearly JaVale has gotten just as good of a shake as Alex has this year, and it hasn't felt like... again, it's felt like they've gone to Alex because JaVale didn't work, not because they like what Alex is giving for some weird reason.
When we get back, it's time to talk about the Lake Show and LeBron James and 40,000 points.
Man.
You worried about tonight? Chris Watkins is not.
Nope.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.